Okay, Parshas Haazinu is upon us, and of course, in all the Yantif rush, sometimes we forget the Parsha, but of course, this week giving us an opportunity to look at Haazinu. There's so much beauty in Parshas Haazinu. Well, let's start with the Pasuk, Hatzur Tamim Po'alo, Kichod Rachav Mishpat. The deeds of the mighty Rak are perfect and just. What's the intention over here? What does that mean, all his ways are perfect and just? So, Rosh Hashanah Shalita pointed out to us that usually when one meets out justice, it cannot take society and the collateral damage into account. When one punishes somebody who's guilty, one doesn't realize that there's a family or children involved, that it's going to affect somebody in multiple level ways. There's always going to be some degree of collateral damage. However, when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem is always able to take everything into consideration. And as we say, Kela Munavi Ein Avel, there's nothing that's wrong about it, and never ruins Hashem's plan when he meets out the punishment. Later we say, Zachor Yemos Olam Binu Shnos Dor Vador, recall the days of old. When we read the of the Yemos Olam, the recollection is in singular language, Zachor. However, when we get to Binu Shnos Dor Vador, it's the plural. The verb Binu is in the plural. Why? So, Rav Yehonas and David Shlita suggests that when it comes to the beginning of time, Zachor Yemos Olam, that includes the Masa Bereishis. And the Mishnah in Chagiga suggests that you can only explain Masa Bereishis to a single Talmud. But the history, Dor Vador, can be studied by the masses together. And so, Zachor Yemos Olam Binu Shnos Dor Vador. That later we read, Tzur Yaladcha Teshi Vatishkach El Mechol Olecha. The Pasuk tells us that you were mindful of the rock who bore, you were unmindful of the rock who bore you, and you forgot Hashem who sustained you. So Rav Aaron Lichtenstein's Zatzal once explained that there are two processes of forgetfulness that lead to sin. In Parshas Ekev, the forgetfulness is an active one when we choose to select Avodah Zarah instead of Hashem. And that the forgetfulness in our parasha, Suyalot Chateshi, is of a different type. Here, says Rav Aaron, the forgetfulness comes from awareness of Hashem's existence, but not the follow-through with the ramifications of that knowledge. In other words, the person described in Parshas Haazinu doesn't allow his knowledge of Hashem's existence to influence his lifestyle or his day-to-day activities. And that's what the Pasuk says, Vayishman Yeshurun Vayivat, that Yeshurun grew fat. This draws his attention away from any sort of spiritual reality, and he kicks it away. So, according to Rav Aaron, the person of Vayishman Yeshurun knows that God exists and perhaps would even profess to believe in the God, but his life is nevertheless considered one of sacrificing to demons. Yizbechu l'ashedim lo eloa. He serves success and prosperity, setting aside no time for developing a spiritual personality. In short, this is modern man's avodah zarah. It's not a selection. It's a selection to ignore rather than a selection to observe the wrong thing. We also see that kidor tapuchos heina. We read that the Bnei Yisrael are considered a generation of reversals. And although the simple meaning of the Pasuk is a negative, Kidor Tapuchos Heina Ba'enem Lo Eimum Bam, Rabbi Yaakov Bender Shalita told the story of Rav Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, who responded to an insolent comment towards Rav Kook Zatzal about Shemitah observance by explaining that there will be a generation in the future whose upbringing is not going to be the rejection of Torah and Mitzvos, which was the cornerstone of the secularist movement in Israel. And sure enough, we see that that came to be. The movement to be Shomer Shemitah Kalach is a proud declaration throughout Eretz Yisrael. In the most recent Shemitah, there were signs all over the highway, Kan Shomrim Shemitah. Here they observe Shemitah. Who would have thought many generations ago, two generations ago, that would even be a possibility? The Pasuk then continues in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Hang Kanuni below El, that they Bnei Yisrael seem to make me jealous as they pursue non God. So Ani Akniim below Am, I'm going to make them jealous with a non people. And the Ramban explains that this is a reference to the Kazdim. Now, what gave them the unique opportunity to ruin the Jewish people? So my Rabbi Zvulun Charlap Shalita explained that there was a rootless people called the Kazdim, whose style was to steal the history, the legacy, the style of the people, in whose midst they lived. They did not have their own identity. Rabbi Neuberger Shlita added that this nation and its star were created by Hashem specifically to go after a nation that's uninterested in its own grand legacy. By Yishman Yishur and by Yivad, if you kick it away, then Hein Kinuni Beloel, Ani Akneim Beloam. If you don't want to have a place to look up to, I'm going to give you another group that has no place to look up to, and they'll take over your identity. Finally, after the Shiras Hazinu, Moshe Rabbeinu turns around and is told, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, to go up on the mountain, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. And Rashi knows that the phrase Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh appears three times in the Torah. It appears in context of Parshas Noach. It appears in the context when the people saw Noach go into the Teva Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. We find it in Mitzrayim that Bnei Yisrael left Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. And then over here as well. And each time, says Rashi, it's to show that no one could stop what was happening Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. This time, it would be Bnei Yisrael who might try to stop the death of Moshe Rabbeinu, says Rashi. But the Mefarshim will ask, how did Bnei Yisrael think that they were going to be successful in that process? So Reb Chaim Shmulevitz Zecher Tzadik Livracha opines that it would be through their tfilos that they would try to stop the decree. Or the Brisker Rav Zatzal suggested, no, simply blocking Moshe Rabbeinu's ascent up the mountain, they would be able to thwart death. Since Moshe had to go ahead, Moshe Rabbeinu would have to go ahead and ascend the mountain in order for him to die. That was a precondition for his death. And that's what the Pasuk says, Umus Bahar Asherato Lashama. And Rashi over there comments that this death would be similar to the death of Aaron HaKohen. Moshe Rabbeinu really wanted Aaron HaKohen's death. Now what was so special about Aaron's death? What was it about that death that made it so desirous to Moshe Rabbeinu? So Reb Neben Sal Shalita explained that the actual entire death was a fulfillment of mitzvos. That is to say, Aaron was commanded to stretch out his hands, and he did it. Then he was told to close his eyes, and then he did it. So Moshe too also wanted to fulfill the words in his death by ascending the mountain and following words. Even his death would be a mitzvah. A similar thought is expressed by the Panovitcher Rav, that sometimes in death, when we do things in death that are considered 100% a mitzvah, then we feel that not only is our life a life of mitzvos, but even our death, and in our death, there is mitzvah as well. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu grant us a Chag Sameach, and may the Zman of Simcha continue, the Olam Vaed, until we get to the ultimate Simcha, when HaRachaman, Hu Yakim Lanu Esukas David Hanu Falas. Shabbat Shalom to all.